continue on with that series tonight. And as you can probably tell from the slide, the presentation tonight is the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness tonight, walking in gentleness. And you say gentleness, that's not a word you hear very often today. And it's not, but we see that it is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, we often hear about backstabbing. We often hear about walking over top others to get to some type of goal. We often hear about how people are always speaking harshly or bragging, or, you know, we don't hear much about gentleness today. And the Word of God says here in chapter 5, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. And we've looked at these different attributes of this God Himself, Jesus Christ, and His Spirit. And remember, this is what the thought is. We cannot produce these on our own. Maybe for a little while, we can produce it for a little while, but we need God's help to continually live in the Spirit. And as we live in the Spirit, we're not going to be fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Let's look here in we'll start off in verse number 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Our flesh desires to not be gentle. Our flesh desires to be harsh. Our flesh desires to get our own way. And it says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. That means they are fighting against one another, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We like to think we would be people that would be loving, and with people who are filled with joy, people who live a life of peace and be patient or long-suffering. And we see that we come to this word gentleness. And Webster defines this word gentleness as noble, generous, kind. So, and even in this passage of Scripture, the Greek word for it is called krestos. And this is the usual, the word for kindness or goodness of a heart that you find in the Bible. For the practical purposes, it is goodness in action. But the problem is we don't see much gentleness and kindness apart from a spiritually minded person. Many times you can find a gossip. Many times you can find something bad to say about somebody or someone who's willing to say something bad. You can find people who are suspicious. You can find husbands that are irritable. You can find wives that are irritable. You can find children that are irritable. But to find someone who is a gentle, kind person that naturally comes that way, you cannot find that apart from the Word of God. You say, naturally. Well, that's when we let the Holy Spirit of God rule and reign in our lives, that the Holy Spirit of God will produce these fruits. And even though we might think, well, you know what? I got the love down. I got the long-suffering down. I got temperance under control. The rest, I won't worry about. And I got three of however many there is. But that's not how it works. The Holy Spirit of God says He can produce all these different fruits in our lives as we allow Him to. So what we've been doing these number of weeks is looking at what the biblical meaning of these words are. And gentleness and kindness is such an important part because I think it makes or breaks her testimony. And in society as a whole, gentleness is hard to come by, but in the church house, amongst believers, gentleness should be something that is frequently named among us. You say, well, why isn't that? Why is it that we don't see more gentle or kind people inside the church of God? And it's the reason why is because we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're all sinners. We all have a sin nature. But what we must need to do as believers is die to self, be filled with the Spirit of God, and no matter what the difficult situation is, if we're filled with the Spirit of God, we can react to things with gentleness. We can react to things that are kind. And you say, Pastor, I just can't do that. That's the whole point of this series, is we can't do it. We need God's help. And here's the idea here is that, you know, you might have been a rough, grumpy, unkind person all your life. And you say, well, that he's talking about a man. I've met some rough, grumpy, unkind ladies in my life too. And you say, well, where am I getting this from? You know what? We want to see growth. We want to see growth. It doesn't happen overnight. And the great thing about Christians is that when you can see growth happening in your life, you can turn around and say, you know what? That person used to have this problem or that problem. They maybe didn't come to church but once a month. And now you see them growing in the Lord and they're coming more often. Or that person used to not display the different fruits of the Spirit. But we see now that we see some of the fruits of the Spirit. That's what we're looking for. That's what God's looking for. Is He's looking for you to be a surrender soul and a surrender spirit so you can grow. And you say, with this idea of comes gentleness, you say, well, this... This this is talking about being sissified, or this is talking about being weak. But the truth is, it takes a man to be able to treat things the way they're supposed to and gently. And then Jesus Christ was no sissy, but this is the fruit of his spirit. He treated people with kindness, and he treated people with gentleness in dealing with them. So point number one is an example of gentleness. And the reason why we chose to use the screen tonight is because we have a lot of verses and a lot of things we want to go over. And hopefully in the end, hopefully you can read it. If not, you can just listen. Hopefully in the end, we can say, you know what? This is something I need to do. This is something I need to work on. And once again, it's not how disciplined we can be in our hearts and life. It's not how much, well, I can show kindness here. I can show kindness there. No, it's us saying, I have a problem. My problem is not the fact that I cannot make myself be more kind. My problem is my relationship with God. Maybe first is not being saved. But after being a Christian, it means as I draw closer to God, God will be able to produce these things in my life. Some people can act in discipline. Some people can work very hard to be nice to other people. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of our flesh. Sooner or later, that will fail us because we're all flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit says we can be filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, tonight's gentleness. So what is the example of gentleness? And obviously, the Lord himself was the personification of gentleness. Psalms 117, verses 1 and 2 says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people." And you say, well, what are we supposed to praise God for? What are we supposed to praise God about? Well, according to this passage of Scripture, it says, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us." The reason why we should praise God is because he is mercifully kind towards us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Now, why does God even put up with us? I mean, we think about it. Sometimes we look at a certain husband or look at a certain wife and say, I don't know why he puts up with her. I don't know why she puts up with him. And I come to this question sometimes when I see how weak I am in my flesh and how many times I struggle and how many times I want to do more for God. I think God wants to do more with me. I say, God, why do you even put up with me? And here's the point. It's because he is merciful and kind to us. He is gentle in the way he deals with us. You think about in the New Testament, the personification of gentleness. Think about how he dealt with Jairus and his daughter. Think about how he touched the wretched leper that probably had not been touched by another human being except for maybe another leper for all those many years. He was kind to Peter when he was overwhelmed as he was filled with guilt and shame. He was kind to the dying thief on the cross. And the truth is, he has been kind to me. He has been gentle with me. He has been patient. He has been kind in the way he's treated me. And I cannot imagine Jesus Christ being unkind in any way, shape, or form. David talks about this as he's reaching out to Mephibosheth. And he asks the question. And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And what David was saying there, Saul had died and most of his children had died. There was one that was left in the house of Saul, Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, you know what he did? He says, look, I want to show my kindness to him. He didn't say that. He said, I wanted to show the kindness of God to someone in the house of Saul. See, there's a complete difference between what we think is kindness and the kindness of God. David had learned the kindness of God while he was running from the caves. David had learned the kindness of God when he allowed him to kill Goliath. David had learned the kindness of God through many different avenues in their life. And we must come to the realization, if we see God as our ultimate example, and we should desire to be like Jesus Christ, and that's our ultimate goal, that will involve gentleness and kindness on our part. Many people say, well, that's just weak nature. No one really needs to be gentle. No one really needs to be kind. Well, Jesus Christ was, and it's described as the kindness of God in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. This is what Jonah said when he was running. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He said to God, he says, "O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." He said, anytime we want to look for examples of what true gentleness is, we look to God. We look to how Jesus Christ treated others. And this is our desire. When we consider the fruit of the Spirit, he says, there's no way I can do that. We can't do it on our own, but we have an example to live by. Let's think about the character of Jesus. You consider the character of Jesus and listen to what it says here in 1 Peter 2:21 through 24. It says, "For even hereunto were you called." As a Christian, we've been called. because Christ also suffered. Now, who did he suffer for? He says he suffered for us. And then the next words is leaving us an example. He showed us how to be suffered. He showed us how we're supposed to be living. He says, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Now, this is the first century church this was written to, and they were facing suffering. They were facing complications. They were facing not knowing whether or not that they would be captured, that they would be put in jail, that they would be burned in Nero's garden. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. And Peter was saying, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, look how Christ suffered. He left us an example that we should follow. And then he continues on, and he talks about how to do things the way that Christ did them, which would seem impossible to us. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He just gave himself over to God. He said, hey, look, all these things are happening to me. What am I supposed to do? And he commits himself to God. Who on his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. This speaks of the character of what Jesus Christ did. When those tried to hurt him, he threatened them not. When those reviled him, he reviled not again. He instead gave his body over, his life over to God the Father. Now, what a wonderful thought. But the wonderful thought here is, this is the example we're supposed to be following. Do we really truly show the gentleness and kindness that Jesus Christ did? You can say, I can't do that. You can't. But as you live close to God, the Holy Spirit of God can produce this fruit in your life. Not only do we see the character of Jesus, we see the compassion of Jesus too. We see how he responded, but we also see the compassion of Jesus. And this is where it hits home, because in his kindness, he offers us salvation. And his kindness, he offers us salvation. Think about what Titus 3, verse 4 and 7 says. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Now, I know we know the next verse, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. But look at that first phrase found in verse number 4. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. It was because of the gentleness and the kindness of God that he shed his blood on the cross, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Ephesians 2, 7 puts it this way, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. For by grace you are saved. Now, we know for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that it's not by works of righteousness, but where does that come from? It comes from the kindness of God, demonstrating his gentleness towards us. And a race of mankind that did not deserve salvation, but because of his kindness and gentleness, demonstrated this towards us, and he gave salvation to all mankind. Say, what does that matter, the kindness of God? Well, see, it's the kindness and the goodness of God that brought us to salvation. Think what it says in Romans 2, 4. Oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It was God's goodness that showed us that we needed a sinner. And because of God's goodness, we are saved today. So not only do we see an example of gentleness, but we also see the expression of gentleness. The expression of gentleness. Okay, Pastor, I get it. God was gentle. God was kind. You know, how does that apply to me? How can I show and how can I demonstrate these things? And, you know, some of these words, once again, will be turn around and say, well, how can I apply that to me? Especially men or boys or even ladies, you know, how in the world can I express that type of kindness to others around us? How would God expect us to do that? We saw that he wanted us to be, he left us an example of how to live. Let's see here. The expression of gentleness. Of course, we're grateful for the gentleness of God. But see, the Holy Spirit wants to take the gentleness of God and he wants to apply that in our lives. He wants us to be able to demonstrate the kindness and gentleness through his Spirit in our own lives. So we treat others like that. You know, we come with love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But most times people stop talking about it there because gentleness is something that's not found so often in a Christian lives. Number one, our expression of gentleness is through sensitivity. sensitivity. Now you might say, well, Pastor, that sounds like you're trying to tell me I need some sensitivity training about at your work, you know, how you should be more sensitive to people's sins and you should be more sensitive. No, that's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about looking at the mind of Christ and having the mind of Christ in your heart. It's biblical. We don't like to think of it this way. We don't like to bring these thoughts up. But look what it says in Philippians 2, verses 4 and 5. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I mean, this is scripture here. He's saying, look, we should be sympathetic towards others, people. I mean, sensitive towards other people's and what they're going through. This is similar in the idea of compassion, feeling another person's hurt. And you see that phrase, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If our ultimate goal is to be like Christ Jesus and to be like Jesus Christ, we have to see that he was kind and he has been gentle. And we need to look in our lives and say, is there a reason why I'm not being a kind and a gentle person? Because no matter how many scriptures we have memorized, no matter how good our standards or our convictions may be, if we do not have kindness, none of these things matters, because Christians that are not sensitive to the needs of others are never going to reach out to others, and the other people are going to be turned away because we do not treat them with kindness and we're not sensitive to the fact they have needs. And their greatest need is a Savior, and we need to act and be like Christ to reach them. A man once said to his colleagues, he says, I have a good wife. He said, a few things upset her, and he says, it makes me feel rather special that I am one of those things that upset her. So that was a joke. Yeah. So now here's the idea. Some people look at it this way and they're just not sensitive and they could care less about how someone else feels. That's not Christ-like and that's not Christian. Now, once again, I'm not talking about putting up with sin. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm talking about what it talks about in Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It talks about treating, how we should treat one another. Not only through sensitivity, we also... Through sympathy. Now, this word sympathy, once again, has this idea of bearing another person's burdens. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You know, this is a spot that some of us really struggle with. Now, I remember back in the day and time when you had to watch other people get excited because of a promotion. Or if one person's got a job and another person gets promoted, the Bible says we're supposed to rejoice with them. But what often happens? We become jealous of them. Well, instead of rejoicing, instead of being excited for them, we look at our own selves and our own rights and says, man, that should have been me. Why did they pick that person to sing that special? Why did he call on that person to pray? Or why did that person get that job? Or brothers and sisters really need to learn how to work with this when it comes to their brothers and sisters. When one brother will get something, they'll turn around and say, man, where's mine? Where did I get this? Where did I get that? I don't know if you've ever had children before, but many times they're not treating each other with gentleness, and they need to see that in their mothers, and they need to see that in their mothers, and they need to rejoice when others rejoice. We need to be excited for others. But there also needs to be a time where we weep while others weep too. And we need to be gentle means we're going to be sympathetic. I've heard some people be so hard and nasty and, you know, well, that's just something they have to go through. They got to live through it. You know, people in the Bible did it. You know, people died in the Bible. They're going to die. They just need to get over it. And then I turn around and see they go through something very small and they lose it. And it's because they never learn to rejoice with those that rejoice and to weep with those that weep, because of the fact that, you know, they could care less about being sympathetic to somebody else. And no one wants to show them gentleness or kindness when it's their turn. We need to try to, if we're going to be gentle in how we deal and treat with others, we're not going to be rough. We're not going to be gruff. We're going to be honest and truthful. Jesus Christ was honest and truthful. Jesus Christ and kindness put the Pharisees in their place because that's what they needed to hear. In kindness, he told people when they were sinners and called them on their sin in a gentle and kind way. He tore up the money changers' tables. He said that wasn't kindness or gentle. That was dealing with sin. But in our lives, we must learn to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. This is how we're supposed to treat one another. We're supposed to go through. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. Not only is it through sensitivity and sympathy, but also through service. Also through service. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 2:24-26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Once again, these verses are all in the Bible. We don't like to be gentle. We do not like to be apt to teach unless it's something we want to show. Patience in meekness. Now, teenagers, this is the same thing that how you're supposed to treat one another. Many times we're looking for an argument. We're looking to pick. We're looking to fight. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, great verses, but I want to look at that first phrase. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Now, what does strive mean? You know, it's treating people wrong, fighting with others. And you think about it. You go to a restaurant. Say, I'm not talking about McDonald's, gentlemen. I'm talking about taking your wives to a nice restaurant, wherever there is one in Elizabeth City, I don't know. But going to a really nice restaurant, and you're there, and if you're greeted by someone, and maybe they have some type of person who's supposed to sit you, and they come in, and they're very confrontational. What are you doing here? You're not going to want to go to a place like that, are you? Well, that person's not really being a servant. They're not providing any type of service. You go up, the waitress or waiter comes to your table and says, you know, what do you want? What do you want to order? Oh, you can't sit there. And they're very confrontational. You know what? That's not being a servant at all. A servant cannot strive. A servant is one who will serve the Lord with a glad heart. Anything else is someone who is being forced to do what they're not supposed to. A servant is somebody who is serving you, giving you a service. And I mean, you wouldn't go to a restaurant and stay there, would you? Would you really want to pay money? When you get to McDonald's, you're not really expecting the girl behind the counter to be super nice. It's nice when they are, but you know, when you're getting a dollar McDouble, you know, you might not. You just hope that they don't spit in your food. You know, it's just there's not much there. But you know, you go to a nice restaurant, people are serving you, they're giving you a service. What is that? They're supposed to treat you with service. They're not supposed to strive with you. They're supposed to, when you ask for another drink, they're supposed to get you another drink. They're not supposed to complain. They're not supposed to be bitter. They're not supposed to be angry with you. You expect something. And this is what we're talking about when it comes to gentleness. We have too many Christians that are out to strive with one another, out to fight with one another, out to stand for their rights and question everybody else. You got enough, you're going to find enough people that gossips. You're going to find enough people that tries to cause problems. You're going to find enough bad people that says bad things. But in the house of God, you're supposed to find people that do not strive one another because they're all servants and they're serving God. It's not something that they're looking for a fight. We need to grow up many times and say, you know what? I'm serving God. I have a great job in serving the Lord and this great commission. I need to reach out to others. But so often we don't treat one another with gentleness because of the fact that we're looking to strive with one another. That's not the way it's supposed to be. These fruits of the Spirit, they're not going to get any easier either. Because in the next few weeks, you're going to see things that are just even more tougher to get. But this is how the Holy Spirit of God wants to produce in your life. You can be a person that treats others with gentleness and treats others with kindness. So not only do we see an example in Jesus Christ of gentleness, but we also see the expression of gentleness through sensitivity, through sympathy, and through service. And last but not least, we see the extending gentleness. You know, this is where the rubber is supposed to meet the road. This is who we're supposed to show gentleness to. You say, Pastor, I'm not good at it. That's exactly the first thing we need to come to, is that we cannot do this on our own. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Most of us are just plain not gentle because that's not the way we are made. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, He actually causes us to be gentle. He actually empowers us to be gentle. And I tell you, we should be thankful for those who tries to help us to be more kind and tries to help us to be more gentle. And when we have individuals and people that come alongside us, and husbands, if you have wives that try to make sure that you're being kind and gentle in the way you treat others, and I'm not talking about nitpicking or nagging. I'm not talking about that. But people who want you to be filled with the Spirit of God and people who are trying to encourage you in your walk for the Lord, we should be thankful for those that try to help us in the right spirit and with the right way, because there's many of us that need to learn how to extend gentleness. Where do we extend gentleness at? First of all, we need to extend gentleness or extending gentleness in your home. You know, the scriptures teach us many things. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Children, obey your parents. Honor thy father and mother. Then there's plenty of scripture that teaches us how we are supposed to extend gentleness. We're supposed to be extending gentleness inside our homes. And so often, this is the first place where we see no gentleness. We see no patience. We see no kindness. We see what between siblings, between father and mother, between father and child, and mother and child. But the Bible tells us this is how we're supposed to act. You say, I can't act like that. You can't. But God's help, the Holy Spirit, can produce this in your life. I heard a story one time about a five-year-old little boy was playing with his two-year-old brother. The two-year-old brother couldn't walk that great yet, got up, and as he was getting up, he pulled his five-year-old brother's hair. Five-year-old brother screams out in pain. The mother runs to the room and says to the five-year-old, "What's wrong?" "So, well, little Johnny pulled my hair." Well, the mother says, "Look, he's only 2 years old. He doesn't know what it feels like to get his hair pulled." And she leaves the room. A couple seconds later, the little two-year-old starts screaming. Mom runs in the room and says, "What happened?" Johnny says, "Well, he didn't know what it felt like. He does know what it feels like now. And so he pulled his hair on purpose." No, you didn't like that joke either. Okay. You're not being very kind by not laughing. So there, I got one there. So, okay. Now think about it. You know, but that's so often we want to treat people in our home. We think that we need to teach them a lesson. And parents many times need to. But there's a kind way in doing anything. There's a gentle way in dealing with someone. And there is a gentle way in correction. There's a gentle way with love. And there's a gentle way in treating each other with respect. And that's what we need to learn how to do. Why? Because God says he's left us an example how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to produce this fruit. Remember, it was the goodness of God that led us to repentance. And when other people see Christ in us, that will show them that there is a need and something different, no matter what the situation is. And don't worry, don't get me wrong, there are going to be people who annoy you. There are going to be people in times when it feels like your wife never stops talking and your husband never listens. There are going to be times when you feel like your parents don't understand. There are going to be times where you want to just blow up and just say, it's over with, and not treat each other with gentleness and kindness. But that's if we're close to God and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we can produce this in our lives. And I can be honest with you, if we are honest with each other, are we really gentle and kind with one another? Not only extending gentleness in our homes, but extending gentleness in our community. Now, I can be honest with you, in the whole message, this is probably the one I struggle with the most. You know, I'm okay with extending it in my home. I love my church family. I'm okay with trying to extend it in my church family. But it's just not there. We need to go out into the world and extend gentleness and kindness. So where in the world is it in the Bible does it tell me that I need to do this? Well, you think about Jesus. What did he do? He helped that leper we talked about. We talked about how he helped the woman at the well. No one wanted to see this woman. They cast her out to the well at noon because nobody wanted to be around her. The other women were sick and tired of her cheating, lying, adulterous ways. Jesus was willing to treat her with kindness. You think about the pool of Bethesda, the man who had been lame and impotent for all those years. And he said, when the pool gets stirred up, no one will help me. He says, I have no man that was going to put him in the pool. But Jesus treated him with kindness. Think about the parable of the Good Samaritan. No one wanted that. The priest didn't want to help him. The Levite didn't want to help him. But the Good Samaritan treated him with kindness. The Bible tells us, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, we don't like to think about these things in the Bible. We would rather be people who are self-absorbed or family-absorbed or even church family-absorbed and say, fill you on the rest. If they get here, then they get right, then they can come be a part. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell an unsaved man to come to church. It tells us to go out and tell the unsaved their need so they can come into the church house. We need to be able to be gentle and extend gentleness in our community also. And you had to pray for me as a pastor because we get calls all the time about people needing help and wanting help. And, you know, and sometimes they come up with the most amazing stories about, and I never know if they're true or not telling the truth. And normally we don't ever help anybody because we don't have funds set up for that and things like that. And, you know, you just need to pray that we are extending gentleness into the community. Someone needs food and their children are in need of food. Sometimes we'll buy them some groceries, and we'll give them directions of different things they can do. But we need to be gentle and kind with the people that we work with. We need people to see Christ in us. And if they see nothing but rough and gruff, they're never going to see the difference between you and anybody else. Not only do we need to extend gentleness, in our homes and in our community, but also in our church. Look what it says in Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, that's what the Bible's saying there. If you got a chance to show gentleness and kindness to someone else, or goodness to someone else, do it. And if it's someone of the same household of faith, do it as much as you can. And that is true. I think oftentimes we have some in our church that are very kind, that are very generous, that are very loving, and they, with their expression, with their words, and with their deeds, and with their resources, there are people that show that. But that's what we're supposed to do. You're not going to figure that out on your own. God has to help us how to do it. You know, I heard this one usher, you get this, Wesley? One usher said to another usher, "We have nothing but good, kind Christians in this church until someone takes their seat. And when someone takes their seat, they're not good, kind Christians anymore." You know what? That might seem silly, but I've seen more people get upset and mad over so little things that they don't treat one another with gentleness. They don't treat one another with kindness. You can see the whole face changes because of some silly or non-essential thing. Because it might not be silly to the individual. But I tell you, it's non-essential, and the idea is not determining whether or not we're reaching people for Christ. And that's what His church is supposed to be. We grow as Christians in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we reach out to the world to bring more people to Jesus Christ. Non-essentials are all the other things that people get all worked up on. And those are things we need to learn to be gentle and kind with one another. We think of how Jesus forgave us, and we are encouraged and empowered to show kindness to others around us. You know, in Ephesians 4, verses 32, 4, 30 through 32, the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you." And we spend a lot of time on these fruits of the Spirit. The reason why is because we need to hear it. We need to be able to demonstrate love for one another. We also need to live a life that is full of joy. We should not be discouraged and downtrodden. We're saved and on our way to heaven. We have something to be rejoicing about. We need to be able to live a life of peace, not full of anxiety, not full of worry. We also need to be able to live a life that is full of patience with those that are around us, demonstrating long-suffering. But we also need to learn how to treat one another with gentleness and kindness. I know that for some of you, you might be saying, "Man, when are we going to get this done?" Well, you got one, two, three, four, four more, and then we'll be done with this. But these are things we should be striving for, the fruits of the Spirit. Not what we can do in our own life, but what Holy Spirit of God can produce in your own life. How do you get better at it? Get closer to God. Get right with God. Because the Bible talks about without Him, we can do nothing. We must abide in Christ. And as we abide in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God will produce this fruit in our lives. Not just this one, but all these lives. So as you leave, ask yourself, am I really a gentle and kind person? And then if you say the answer is really no, don't look at how you can become more gentle and look at how you can become more kind. Look at what's wrong with your relationship with God. Fix that and let the Holy Spirit of God produce this in your life. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.